come enjoy our collection and resources.
Every year, 85,000 Canadians will be diagnosed with skin cancer, and many of those will be from preventable problems that are very easily detected. It is one of the most preventable types of cancer, but not enough people regularly get checked out by a professional. The Canadian Dermatology Association and Vancouver dermatologists will be hosting a free public skin cancer screening clinic at the Vancouver Aquatic Centre, Saturday, July 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. No appointment necessary. They will also be educating individuals on the importance of early detection and prevention of all skin cancers and demonstrate how to conduct an at-home self-exam.
FM Vancouver Reloaded, playing your favorite tunes and mouth-humping your ear holes full of voice talk. Yeah, we do that.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, which is a mixture of debate and awesome music. My co-host this week, as always, is Connor Neckelput. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, Sim. Excited to be here.
Yeah?
Any particular... No, I'm just joking.
Any particular reason? Or...
No, really. I am pretty dismal, actually. Looking at your pretty face has made it all better.
It's not that pretty.
I like the neck hair.
It's called a beard, thank you very much.
Sorry, neck beard.
Neck beard? Get out, man. Like, if there's one thing I don't have, it's a neck beard.
Just saying, it looks pretty.
I shave my neck, and like, I take time to shave my neck every week.
Well, you can't see it because it's behind your beard.
Exactly. So don't you dare sit there and say you can see a neck beard. Defamation of my character, how dare you?
Yeah, I'm liable for libel.
All right, enough of that bollocks. Let's play some comedy. All right, this is White Noise.
Warning, the following programming may not be suitable for anyone. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by Trojan's new kale-flavoured condoms for that smug fit. First up tonight, people are improvising.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the show. We are Need for Improvement. I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
I'm Ted.
And I'm the girl.
Can we get our first suggestion? A place and an action, please.
You're on trial.
Oh, okay.
For murdering a child in a bath.
Maybe something else?
You're in a hospital.
Great.
And you're having an abortion.
Maybe something a bit more upbeat, guys.
Okay, how about you're in a cab?
That could work.
And the cab driver's molesting you.
Come on, guys, this is meant to be comedy. These situations are too dark.
You're on stage.
Okay, that'll do.
And you're sucking at improv.
Oh, this is the last time I book is at a scriptwriter's convention.
I love improv. It's like real theater comedy, except without the costumes, the sound, sets, lighting, thought-provoking insight, or jokes. Next up tonight is a news report.
Good evening and welcome to the Situation Closet. I'm Mad Max, Fury Road. And I'm Finding Dory. Tonight, a legal battle rages, launched by one woman who is fighting for the right to keep her puppy's gender off its pet license.
The woman stated in an interview that she believes we should wait for the Doberman to be old enough to tell us what gender it is.
This is a delicate case, with gender rights activists plowing their support heavily in both sides of the debate.
Activists appear torn between their desire to support equality for all and their desire not to be made to look ridiculous.
The sentient abilities of animals is a topic that has been hotly debated for years between vegetarians and other vegetarians.
Though, of course, they have all grown tired of arguing at times, mainly due to the iron deficiency.
The Doberman itself has been silent so far on the issue, but is expected to give testimony at the trial.
Dogs in other cities are watching the trial closely, mainly because there is a dog on TV.
If you're trying to equate that last piece with the very real and important fight for transgender rights, stop it. We are talking about a group of animals that we regularly remove the reproductive organs of. Oh, wait, maybe that was a bad example. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Neil, are you ready to go? It's time for my walkies.
Hang on.
Hurry up, I need the loo. And make sure you bring the poo bags this time.
In a minute.
Oh, I'm coming in.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, what are you doing?
What? You never seen a man in your mother's underwear before?
Oh, at least Dad had the figure for it. So, what are we going to do today?
Well, I'm in the mood for, like, you know, a bit of reading, or maybe, a game of Connect Four, or, rob a bank.
Well, I can't read or count to four, so how about we do some robbing?
All right, well, what are we going to hit?
Oh, it's not the face, I just said it fixed.
What I mean is, what are we going to rob?
Ooh, I know a spot. It's in town, low security, and loads of deposits.
Oh, it's not another sperm bank, is it?
No, I don't think so. Although the floor is pretty sticky.
You got the weapons?
All I could find was just a knife.
That'll do. Wait, how am I going to scare someone with a butter knife?
Oh, well, tell him it's margarine. That stuff's well bad for you.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, you bringing a mask?
Yeah, but all they have was facial masks.
What? Oh, Jesus, you got face cream?
Yeah, it'll be well scaring when we're all green.
All right, smear it on.
Do you want cucumbers for your eyes?
Just put the damn cream on. Also thought, another smart move, we should change our accents, so they don't know it's us.
Genius!
Oh, I know. Ooh, this cream is all tingly.
Yeah, lovely, innit?
So what accent can you do?
Oh, you are going to love my Chinese.
No, not that one. Just add to the crimes we've been arrested for. Can you do German?
I'll try.
No, German Shepherd!
Oh, no then.
Oh, maybe Scottish?
Haggis.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah, but that's the only word I know how to say.
Oh, well, do you know any others?
Well, I can do a posh toff accent. See, like this. How do you do? Should we walk the corgis?
Brilliant! All right, yeah, let's get this over with. We've got 20 minutes before our face peels are ready to come off.
All right, what accent are you going to do?
I think this will do. Don't you, my kind of flower?
Oh, I could have done a gay accent.
Shut up. All right, ready? Ein, zwei, drei. Oh, shit, it's a sliding door. Hands in the air, or we will spread ya.
Terribly sorry for the trouble, but we're robbing you.
Oh, Mr. Weathers, did you want to make a withdrawal?
How do they know your name?
This is my bank.
Oh, for fuck's... I mean, this is not Mr. Weathers. My associate, Mr. Windsor, just looks a lot like this Carl Weathers you speak of.
No, I'd recognize that look of bewilderment anywhere. And you must be Neil. Carl's told us so much about you. How's Carl's mum? Still shagging her?
I am not this Neil. I am Henrik. I am here to steal the money.
Well, I can't give you any money. But you can have a free pen if you like.
Give me the whole box.
All right, greedy, but don't tell my boss.
Wait, no, I want the cash. Give it now, or I will stab you.
Wouldn't be the first time. this week.
Maybe we better go, Neil.
Never! We will never surrender!
Oh, come on, mate. I want to get home in time for Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's a good TV show.
It's a TV show?
Oh, come on, mate. I need this. Oh, I really need to win here. Come on. How many failed robberies can I have? Please, just let me rob you.
Here, mate. Here's a fiver.
Really? Thanks? Oh, this means a lot to me. Ha! Gotcha! That was faking! I am the greatest thief who ever lived! Neil! Neil! Shit, shouldn't have said my real name. I enjoy the occasional face mask, but be careful when ordering a facial from the classified ads. Next up tonight, we return to the Millennial Retirement Home.
Good evening and welcome back to the year 2077 in our quiet retirement home called the Dab House. Jamie and Jordan are picking a movie to watch.
All right, which one, Fast and the Furious 10, The Ghost of Paul Walker, or the Fast and the Furious 11, Vin Diesel Gets His Groove Back?
Neither. You always pick the movie. Let's watch what I want to watch. It's Woody Allen's latest film. It's called Everybody Fuck Off. She was 19, for Christ's sake.
Nah, too artsy. It's all in black and white.
So is everything else. I'm colorblind.
Come on, we've got Netflix. Let's pick a highly rated one.
The rating system has gone down the toilet. No nuance anymore. Now it's just a Netflix executive pointing out what they've just released.
Fine. Then let's see what's on the TV.
What's a TV?
It's a laptop with more adverts.
No. I know. Let's go outside.
What's outside?
It's like inside, but with more bugs and muggers.
If I wanted to be mugged, I'd let my grandson visit me. I want to watch a movie.
Fine. Let's just put on the new Michael Bay movie, Transformers 8064. If I'm lucky, one of the explosions will kill me.
In the rec room, Nicole and Jason are taking part in a Harry Potter quiz.
When reading The Order of the Phoenix, how many times did you want to strangle Harry?
No, it's six. Six. Right, six.
Shut up. It's seven.
It's six.
Which one of us has a golden snitch on his ass?
Well, you'll never see my golden snatch.
In the Deathly Hallows, which character deserved to die the most?
Well, obviously that's Hedwig. He was a sitting duck in that cage.
No, it's Snape. Dude could peace out 100 times.
Lastly, which Weasley brother is most bangable?
Bill! Right, Bill, you turkey!
No, it's Charlie. Bill got all mangled by that werewolf prick.
Why did I ever pick you as a teammate?
Hey, relax. We're in with a shot. Everyone else fell asleep after the second round.
That'll teach him to take drinks from strangers.
You poisoned him?
Only a bit of Rohypnol and a lot of ketamine.
In the dining hall, the weekly twerking competition has begun.
That's it, Shannon. Twerk it, baby.
Oh, my hip. This used to hurt less. Harry, stop spanking me.
Sorry.
It's my turn.
Woo! I think I feel something in my pants. It's just my Swiss Army knife. Someone call a nurse.
I'm right here.
Give me a go. Yeah, how do you like me now?
I liked you better when you weren't doing that.
I'm gonna do the worm.
No, Dean.
Oh dear, aren't worms meant to move? I've never perfected the worm, but I do a great slug. Next up tonight, we return to our favourite diarist, Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, today was an unusual day. I decided to do something different and went early to the local petting zoo. Well, at least that's what I thought it was called, but the attendant informed me it's actually called a daycare centre. The children didn't enjoy being fed raw carrots, but some enjoyed the belly scratching. After being asked to leave, I decided I wanted to do something relaxing, so I went to my local sauna. This one is an all-male sauna called the Glory Pole. It's run by a charming gentleman who gives all his guests complimentary poppers. Very relaxing. Once inside, I got undressed before the manager informed me the lobby isn't for changing. Once I was in a towel, he showed me to the saunas, which were surprisingly busy for a Thursday afternoon. I had a nice chat with an old gentleman who seemed unaware his genitalia was in full view and equally oblivious to the fact I could see he was masturbating. The other patrons didn't seem to mind as they were busy having oral sex. It's nice to be somewhere for once where people aren't so uptight about these things. The man I was chatting with left quite suddenly, so I sat quietly, enjoying my nitrous. Then, another man came in and started panicking that he'd lost his watch, which was a present from his wife. I tried to help him find it, but all I could find on the floor were three wedding rings and what I think was a cock ring. Eventually, he gave up and left crying about living a lie. I told him he could tell his wife the truth, that he'd lost it, and just buy another one. He didn't appear to find my advice very helpful. Finally, after spending an hour pruning up, I went and had a shower, which was easier said than done, because everyone in there kept asking to borrow my soap, and then they just kept dropping it. Overall, I had a splendid time at the sauna, and I think next time I go, I might even try some of the gay sex.
I'm not a fan of saunas. I sweat enough as it is. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood in Blackmore, briefs, Bacardi breezes, and bling.
Richard, hurry up if you want to lift into town.
I'm coming.
Well, don't get it on in the sheets.
I'm getting ready. Jesus.
Well, 2 out of 3 times I'd be right. Seriously, hurry up. The doctor's close at 4 and I need to pick up my pubic lice cream.
Oh, can you just stop saying gross things for 5 minutes?
You'll be old enough one day and you'll need pubic lice cream.
Not if I die of embarrassment first.
So what are you doing in town?
Nothing.
You better not be vandalizing again. I'm not paying for another new mannequin at Marks and Spencer's.
I didn't see the problem. Most of them old ladies shopping there have mustaches too.
They don't need reminding by a little shit like you.
Oi, I'm nearly a big shit now.
I know. God help us. All right, meet me back here at 5:30. Don't be late. I need time to go to the supermarket and dent some cans so we can buy cheap food for dinner.
Whatever.
Oi, give your mum a kiss. Here's a pound. You gotta spend a little money so they won't be suspicious when you nick the rest of your sweets.
All right, Rich.
Hiya, Terry. Where's Boss?
Oh, he couldn't come. His mum caught him wanking the dog again.
Oh, what a knob.
It's not that impressive.
What? Oh, never mind. You brought your big coat.
Yeah, well, it's in me rucksack here.
How many records can we fit in it?
Oh, I don't know. I can't count.
Well, just follow my lead. I'll distract the pleb working. You take what you can.
How come I have to do the hard bit?
Because it was my idea. That's how business works, idiot.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me?
What?
You got any Shirley Bassey in the back?
She's right there, under shit music.
No, I'm looking for rare stuff, you know, like early bootleg recordings.
Well, if it's bootleg, it wouldn't be sold in a store, dickhead.
Oh, well, can you check?
Sure. Oi! What are you doing, you little shit? Put those back.
Ron Terry!
Don't say my name, you prick!
You're staying here.
Get off me! Help! I'm being touched by an old man!
Shut up. You're coming with me.
Shit!
Well, what do we have here? Master Blackmore, we meet again.
I don't do nothing. This is a stitch-up.
Not according to the CCTV.
Who's he?
The security cameras, you pillock.
All I did was ask a question.
So your little friend could steal some very expensive Liza Minnelli albums.
What? I told him to get Led Zeppelin, the tosser.
Nah, so you did tell him to steal.
No, I... feck.
Oh, look who's here.
What have you done now?
Double feck.
What you done?
Not you, this overgrown sack of shit! You gonna nick my son? For what?
He was stealing records.
Was he now? And where are these records you're talking about?
Well, his friend has them.
Then go nick him, you turd! My son ain't done nothing!
Well, but...
Piss off, you wanna be, copper! Go nick some real criminals, you sad bastard, and stop picking on my kid!
Fine, whatever. I hate this job anyway.
Oh, phew! Thanks, Mum!
Shut it! When we get home, you're dead meat!
Bollocks!
My mum never beat me for misbehaving. She just mentally tortured me for 20 years. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Kenneth Tynan, and Simon Welton.
Guess writing by no one.
All right, there you go. That was the White Noise show for another week. Sadly, we've only got 3 more episodes to go. We're going to stretch them out a little bit, though, probably. So we'll definitely have a brand new one next week. And then we might take a week off and do one the week after. Take a week off and then do our final one probably mid-August.
Maybe.
We'll see, though. But, yeah, sadly, we're coming to an end. But, you know, we'll make sure the last few are worth tuning into, I promise.
Absolutely.
And if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, remember, White Noise UBC is our Facebook and White Noise YVR's Twitter. And, of course, we do have a live show coming up this month on July 25th.
July 25th, that's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, we're performing in tandem with the Fictionals, an improv group who hopefully didn't hear that first sketch tonight. Well, if they did, they could suck it up, you know. You gotta be tough to be in comedy, come on.
You do, especially in improv. You can't rehearse it, it either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. So, definitely try and check us out next week.
Café du Soleil, I believe it's 8 o'clock.
Café du Soleil, 8 o'clock on Commercial Drive, just a short walk from Commercial SkyTrain and the 99 stop. So no excuses, go do it. What else are you doing on a Tuesday night? Go this week and watch Baby Driver and then go next week and watch us. Besides that, I guess it's time to play some music. And then we'll come back with our first topic of the night. It's going to be a little interesting, I think, tonight, some of these topics, a little controversy, as we like to do. So please stay tuned for that. But first, we're going to play some Art Deco, an awesome band. They performed recently at the Catalano Festival a couple of Saturdays ago, local outfit, and they're pretty bloody brilliant. So enjoy this one.
Escaping my
one tattoo on the inside of your arm. I am the phone call that you made when it was already too late.
Alright, there we go. That is Dad Weed with I Could Have Been Oblivious off Spring Tour. I know you're not a fan of the vocalist there, but I still think that band's got potential.
I mean, there's no point. I'm not trying to openly diss the vocalist or anything. I think, you know, he's got passion, he's got talent. Like, I'm glad he's pursuing his art. I just felt like, you know, there's a certain disconnect between the rhythm and the intensity of the music and his vocal range. But that might just be, he might go into it. It might be a stylism. I think the music's really cool. I'll listen to them more for sure.
Good.
As well as Art Deco as well. Like, it was really fun to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
Starting us off.
Yeah, Art Deco's been great. Their whole album's solid. Definitely check that out if you have time. Called Day Fevers. Very good local band. All right, so let's get on with our first topic of the night. First topic is in regards to a current affairs news story, which is that
Simon's beard's too bushy.
which is that they're discussing the need to ban child sex robots, because sex robots are becoming a more and more common thing, and they're becoming more and more advanced, and people feel that it's necessary to draw a line and say we can't have child-resembling sex robots. I'll go to you first, Connor. What do you think about this? Do you think they're right?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, right? It's one of those sort of ideas where the line between, like, which influences the other is sort of fine and vague at the same time. Obviously, if pedophilia is unfortunately a certain sort of condition, it's something that people sort of suffer from and unfortunately act out in regard to, which is obviously very horrible for all the young boys and girls who have ever had to deal with that sort of unwarranted sexual attention. But if people have those sorts of urges and they can sort of express those in a non-harmful way to an object which won't grow up to traumatized in a certain therapeutic form, do you wonder, is there benefit to that? Or does that simply snowball the idea that pedophilia is in some cases or more cases all right? I don't know. It's which comes first?
Yeah, it's kind of a chicken or the egg.
Exactly. On the one hand, like, it seems a very strange concept. Obviously, I guess I need to look at sex robots first. Is that good? Is that a way to be able to, you know, utilize and sort of express everything your body tells you it wants, without needing to inflict emotional or physical damage or overbearing on another person? Possibly it could be a good thing. I don't know. Like, you obviously lose the relationship dynamic, but if it allows you to take care of what your needs are in a non-harmful way, then perhaps it's therapeutic and good. And therefore, I mean, is the child part as important? I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't like the idea. But on the other hand, like, as long as it doesn't encourage a transition towards reality, maybe there's something therapeutic about it. I don't know. It's not my bag, but...
Yeah, because if it is a mental disorder, which seems to be the consensus among psychiatrists and psychologists, is that, you know, this is... There's like either a chemical imbalance or a psychological imbalance in people, whether it's... and it's usually... With most things, it's a psychosocial biological dynamic, which that it's something that you may be genetically disposed to, but then mixing that with your experience in life could lead to the existing behavior later in life, which equals pedophilia.
Yeah.
So in that case, like, and we've seen lots of different forms of therapy already for it, which are everything from like chemical castration. Whether it's pills or like surgery, to like in-house sort of treatments of people being monitored and like basically rewarded for cessation of sexual behavior, whatever it may be, and you know, not having around any magazines or anything with children in them, or any sort of sexual nature. You know, those are the sort of treatments that they do use. But yeah, it does seem like if it's something that isn't going to go away in their personality and their behavior, if it's something,
and we can't entirely fix it.
Yeah, if it's not something you can cure, then surely the ability to cessate it is perhaps of seriously important, you know,
serious consideration.
Yeah, maybe. It needs to be seriously considered. I think to completely just say no, it's gross, it's disgusting, which of course it is abhorrent, but to say that therefore we should pretend it doesn't exist and just ban it seems naive. I do, you know, it is a tricky one though. I can absolutely see both sides, and both sides make a lot of sense.
And it's hard to try argue against the ethics of just like condoning the idea of entertaining people taking out sexual energies on children.
Yeah, and if there is this way around it, what needs to be done though? Because this is all conjecture and emotion that people are making these arguments on, and so what you really need is trials. You need serious scientific data on this. So you need to get somebody to do research where they take, you know, people who are incarcerated for such a thing, and maybe do have one group that are given these dolls and one group that are not. And
one group that get placebo.
Which would just be non-treatment in this case.
Exactly.
Not dolls that are actually, I don't even know what a
placebo. Yeah, no, I don't want to consider what that might entail.
Yeah.
Dolls like, that seem like robots.
Like, I think you do have to seriously give this some thought though. I think to completely just write it off as being abhorrent is maybe it's short-sighted. It is short-sighted because it's not an issue that's just going to disappear. People aren't going to just suddenly not have these thoughts and ideas. So we need to look at every option seriously.
And do you think there's any parallel that we could draw, scientifically speaking, between the results of studies on something like, say, for instance, pornography, and how that affects people in I guess, I'll say real life, but in the actual relationships? Do you think there's anything like any sort of parallel to be made there? I think pornography obviously has a certain stigma for making the expectations of particularly young people in sexual relationships very different. In some cases, a lot of couples sometimes watch pornography together, and it entertains and stimulates their sexual appetites and lives, and that seems okay. So do you think there's any parallels to be made there? Or do you think it's too far a stretch?
Well, but there's a difference between visual and the effects of visual stimulation versus physical stimulation, because in pornography, there have been studies that have shown that people who watch a lot of pornography then tend to have less pleasure from actual sex and find it harder to become aroused and to be entertained and to enjoy regular sex.
Yeah.
And so but that's because it's a visual thing rather than
visceral things.
Yeah, something that's physical. Like, it would be maybe more accurate if you could look at studies of people who use like fleshlights and whether that cessates their needs and means they don't then feel like, you know, like if you had a sample group that was, say, rapists, people who were serial rapists or rapers, and you gave them fleshlights, and did they then try to recommit that crime versus people who didn't have one? That would be, like, but no study like that's ever been done. So, like, I just don't think a study on pornography would, you know.
You think because the intention's different, right?
Yeah, and also, like, again, you fall into this correlation argument and be like, okay, is it people who are very sexually motivated who seek out pornography? Or is it that after watching pornography you become sexually motivated? Like, which comes first? It becomes very hard to decipher the two.
What came first, sex or the desire for sex? Who knows, right? Yeah.
It seems like sex is such a you know, continuous and like part of your life, at least until you kind of start to slow down.
Certainly, evolutionary speaking, at the very least.
Yeah, for men and women, like, even into your older age, it's something that you desire, and maybe you desire it less and less as time goes on, but it never goes away, really, unless you're castrated or, you know, whatever.
A nun.
I'm sure nuns are horny. I'm sure at least a few of them get a little bit gaggy for it. I just think it's one of these questions that yes, we can debate it and make some assumptions here, but I do think that without testing, I think it might be naive to overlook the possibility that this could be useful in preventing the very real and serious issue of child harm, which sadly doesn't seem to be stopping. Like, cases continue to arise, and they will do for the foreseeable future. It's a sad reality. And if this is one option that might be able to help with the fight against that, then I think, I've got to take it serious.
And on the other hand, like, if it's take it as an experiment and it fails and it only seems to encourage those kinds of expressions, then at least, obviously, looking retroactively, at least we established some sort of data to suggest that's not a good idea. I mean, obviously, we don't really want to risk anyone's harm. Through every sort of chaos we learn, every negative experience we grow as people, as individuals, as communities. I think at the end of it, you're going to come away with some good data and some kind of good thesis and hypothesis. And one of those, whichever way it falls, it's going to carry us to some way. And that hopefully will be a better way than where we are.
Totally, yeah. Let's make an informed decision. Okay, let's play another song. I don't know if this is an appropriate title after what we just talked about, but this is Good Weekend by Art Brute. Here we go. Come on, play, you bastard. Let's have it.
Haven't got a knack yet. We've tried it a variety of ways. I've not slept in about 4 days. Got myself a brand new girlfriend. Got myself a brand new girlfriend. Phone's ringing all weekend. Got myself a brand new girlfriend. So many messages to send. Got myself a brand new girlfriend. Phone's ringing all weekend. Got myself a we went to the cinema. We came home from the cinema. We went through the front door, up the stairs, through the bedroom door, onto the bedroom floor. I've seen her naked twice. I've seen her naked twice. Brand new girlfriend. Girlfriend, so many messages to send. Got myself a brand new girlfriend. Phone's ringing
You
there we go. That was Century Palm with Sick of It off Meet You. Very interesting album. Definitely worth checking out. And actually mixed by Jayana, who we've played on this show before, and he's very, very good himself. He has a great album, J2, if you haven't heard it. And before that was Kawama with Belladonna from Seasick. And of course, leading that little set there was Art Brute with Good Weekend, which is off Bang Bang Rock and Roll, which is a great album if you've never heard it. Very witty and very entertaining. All right, so we've got time for one more topic tonight. So, Connor, do you want to introduce?
Yeah, so staying with the sort of a slightly similar theme, this whole idea of sort of youthness, I want to ask you, Simon, in your opinion, what kind of defines that sort of loss of innocence that we've come to regard as a very integral point of growing up? You know, there's so many films and stories about, you know, youthful innocence lost, whether it's because of through death or alienation, obsession, those sorts of things. What in your mind is it that sort of, I guess, takes you from that that youthful innocence stage to, I guess the adolescent or more mature, realistic sort of mentality?
I wouldn't call adolescence mature. But
no. But yeah, the breaking with that sort of youthful naivete, I suppose.
And that's it. What is it to lose your innocence? Is to lose naivety, to realize the world isn't, you know, the fairy tale assumption that, you know, child literature and entertainment would lead you to believe, that things don't always go right for you. Bad things happen to people who don't deserve them. And also that things just aren't as straightforward as you think. I mean, people think of innocence as a sexual thing as well, of course. And once you sort of realize the sexual nature of being human. But I wouldn't even say that's really losing innocence if it's in a healthy way and, you know, is not traumatic. But it's that point where you realize, like, okay, yeah, like, in life you have to work hard, nothing's guaranteed, and as hard as you plan, things don't necessarily go your way, and that's okay. That's just how things are, and there's nothing you can do about that. The best you can do is your best, and hope that that is enough to make you, to put you in a position that makes you happy.
But even children, right? I mean, like, even until their later years, understand that, like, there is happiness and sadness in the world, that things go right and wrong. But is there? Can you, like, articulate a particular sort of experience or stage, which changes things from kind of being, I guess, regular to suddenly see it? So suddenly, I guess the shroud that kind of unfolds. Yeah.
Okay, I kind of see what you're saying. And what I would say is it's when you switch from seeing the world as black and white and seeing it then as 100,000 shades of grayness. That's really when you become, I would say, more mature, is when you realize that there isn't just good people and bad people. There is people who behave a certain way but for certain reasons, and they could be a myriad of different reasons why they do that, and doesn't necessarily mean in every circumstance they're going to do that. And life is full of that, and it's a more mature way and a more nuanced way of seeing the world, and perhaps that's really the crux of maturity.
So in a certain sense, then it's about kind of losing that sense of order. As you grow up, your parents, hopefully your friends, everyone teaches you that the world works in certain sort of cyclical kind of ways. If you do this, this happens. If you do this, this happens. This is what you come to expect. This is how you should act.
It's systematic.
So it's once that system crumbles before your eyes because of perhaps injustice or the realization of obsession or something like that, or any of those key characteristics that sort of highlight that loss of innocence, you'd say that has to do with that kind of breaking down of the facade of orderliness and systematicness in the world.
That can happen in many different ways. Somebody who deserves much better for, you would think, for their behavior is then dealt a tragic blow, whether they get cancer or they
lose a parent,
Their house burns down, who knows, what they get mugged at gunpoint, like, something, you know, tragic things happen, And you realize that, yeah, it's not all about what you put in. Sometimes there's chance, and the world is, yeah, sometimes a very random place. Like, a good book kind of about that idea. It's not his best book, but Vonnegut wrote a book called Timequake, which is all about that and about the randomness of the world and how it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's just your numbers up and crazy stuff will happen.
And do you think, and so that, do you, is that just an inevitable part of growing up that you have to embrace the arbitrariness, the randomness, the disorderliness in the world? Or is there a way that you can still sort of try and cultivate that sense of order and belief in consistency?
Well, I don't think you have to then become cynical or pessimistic
or nihilistic
upon hearing that. You can be nihilistic and still be positive.
You could be.
You know, like Camus was not saying that we should all just say forget it and, you know, do nothing and rob and murder people just because nothing matters. Nihilism isn't necessarily that sort of mindset. There's one way of looking at it, but yeah, you can look at it optimistically and say, okay, well, if nothing really matters, then I should just do what makes me happy and what I think is right, and I don't have to bow down to a particular set of beliefs and ideas that I think are from a higher being or whatever. You can make your own rules and live by them. And yes, you might not be going with the common thread, but who's to say that the common thread is even right? And so it can be liberating to realize that everything isn't in order and systematic, but rather it is random, and you just have to take what you can from it. And if you're lucky, you can do amazing things.
And in your mind, is there a optimal age or experience threshold at which, you know, it's all right to encounter that sort of phase? Or do you think we should expedite that and try to make sure that early on, you know, when they're conceiving of the world, children are exposed to this idea of not futility, but of the randomness and the pointlessness to everything, and try to instill in them, like, yeah, do what makes you happy, find your own purpose, and whatever it is that makes you tick, just stick to that. Like, no matter, like, who tells you you're wrong or how rewarding or it is for other people. Do you think there's anything in that, or should it be organic?
Well, what's interesting is that there is a belief in writing literature for youth and children that there are certain things that should happen in certain age groups. Like, you can't write a book with full of grey for under 12s, basically. Like, up until then, they a publishing company will expect a black and white story, and anything else you'd struggle to actually publish. Young adult fiction, which is really sort of, I guess, like 13 and up, actually has basically no limitations, and they you can pretty well get away with any topic as long as there's like some value to it. So that sort of says that the consensus is that, yeah, once you get into your early teens, pre-teens, maybe you start introducing these more nuanced ideas. And you have to remember too that children don't develop their abilities to deal with very complex ideas until they start to get to about that age. So you might be fighting a losing battle to even try to introduce such nuance to younger children and ideas. It wouldn't work, because your prefrontal cortex, which deals with complex problem solving, isn't finished developing until you're 25, which is why many of us have done some of our stupidest things after we're officially adults, post 18 to 25. I'm sure we all did very silly things at different times, And I'm sure we still continue to do so. You know, you're never perfect. So it's, yeah, there is a biological limitation on how early you can introduce these things. You could try, and maybe some kids will buy into it, but on average, yeah, you're probably looking at least 12 or 13. But I think it's important to get away. You can still get away from like the good and evil nonsense early on, because that's like a biblical thing that is kind of left over into secularism now, in that we say like this person's good and this person's bad, rather than just saying to children this person has behaved badly in this situation. and has made a bad decision this time, but it's not inherently bad. It doesn't mean that they're going to be bad every day.
No, I absolutely agree, and the idea of good and bad is, of course, a binary. But in a certain sense as well, it does help us to conceive of the world in a more orderly fashion and make our way through it with the idea that there are like these boundaries and restrictions which make it easier to tread the path that you're given. And so I wonder, even for younger audiences, again, who struggle to grasp those nuanced ideas of, oh, he's good today, but he's bad tomorrow. That doesn't make sense. I wonder if there is still something worth playing that binary until a certain time where they actually feel the ability to discern between, yeah, the nuance and the, I guess, that sort of binary order.
Definitely. All right, we are going to have to leave it there because it's past 10 o'clock already. We will be back next week, as we've said before, with a brand new show. So please join us then. Thank you so much for listening. We had a great time. We'll see you soon. We're going to leave you with one last track. Ninth Wave show is coming up next. This is Twist with Keep You Under. Have a good night.
Come on.